This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Lynn Mark, together with Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kanison. It is, do you know what? I almost forgot what day it is. It's Tuesday, the 19th of May. It's already starting to blur together, I find. But then I think that's really been the theme of this entire movement control order.
Well, I think a little bit more normal now. I see a lot more traffic on the road, a lot more people milling about. And one indication of that is there's a lot more trash. I don't know whether you noticed, because, you know, I've started my runs again, right? So earlier when when we were first allowed to run, I noticed, wow, the roads were so clean. And then like 1 week later, there's more and more trash. So human beings have come back into society and unfortunately brought their garbage with them.
Yeah, I think I think the other day I forgot something and I wanted to come back to the office after I'd left it. And I came back and I was circling the office building for like 15 minutes and I couldn't find parking.
Okay, and that's definitely indication that life is, you know, coming back a little bit to normal,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Now, the other bad thing I've noticed, and this is something to do with COVID-19, why are there use masks on the road thrown away everywhere? I don't understand this. This is the new trash that bugs me.
I haven't actually seen this.
Okay, so yeah, notice it. And, you know, we should really find a way to kind of avoid it. Because it's bad, right? I mean, in the first place, it might contain this virus. So you're told to dispose of your mask properly. But clearly people don't. They just throw them by the roadside.
Yeah, so this is a part of the new normal that we're just going to have to deal with. But we have a number of things lined up, nevertheless, for you this morning. And of course, it is a little bit of an unusual show for us as well this week, because Roshan, you're actually coming to us not from within the studio. You're coming all the way from the comfort of your home.
Yes, very far, far away from all of you, keeping the appropriate physical distance of approximately 7 kilometres.
Yes,
that,
I think
that is the appropriate distance. Okay, I want to reiterate that. But you know, I've also noticed a few things changing, like the fact that traffic is back on the roads. Last week I was working from the office and driving back, I started to notice, oh, I'm waiting at this traffic light a little longer, or waiting at this junction a little longer. And then I realized that, oh, right, people are going back to work. Mm-hmm. So welcome back, everyone.
Yes, yeah, welcome back.
Yes, it's the new normal, right? But I think a lot of offices are still practicing their SOPs, so alternate. Everybody's coming back to work in alternate bunches. But you know what? One of the things I'm going to talk about this morning is whether we can find that vaccine so that things can actually come back to what it used to be, the whole office together. And I miss that a lot. And China came out with some news yesterday saying that if they found a vaccine, they would share it. So this is something we're going to talk about later at 6:30.
Actually, on that note, we'll be talking about this in about 10 minutes. It's basically, how have you maintained your 9-to-5 work schedule while living at home? Because, you know, a lot of tech companies have been doing weird schedules. But, you know, we've heard about people who are night owls or early risers. They work before the dawn or they work way, way into the night. Is there a way to integrate all of that in this new normal that we like calling it? That's happening in about 10 minutes.
And if you want to weigh in on our conversations, remember you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, though, we're taking a look at workstations at home and whether or not your workstation is really that friendly to your back. So be sure to stay tuned for that conversation after this. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Love of My Life by Santana and Dave Matthews. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Xiaoning and Roshan. Now, most of us at some point or other, this movement control order, have been working from home. In fact, Roshan Kanison is working from home, broadcasting all the way from his home somewhere in the depths of Petaling Jaya today.
All the way from the depths of Petaling Jaya.
A grand total of 7 kilometres away from the studio. So the question is whether or not you've actually had to set up some kind of workstation for yourself in your home. And, you know, How do you set it up? How do you ensure that you don't finish your day with a terrible backache and wrist pain and your neck is hurting? And so there are now tips and tricks being sent around of how to create a more ergonomic setup. So I'm curious, guys, you know, what does your home setup look like?
It's my dining table. I don't have a fancy setup. I mean, I think in our line, even before this COVID-19, I've always worked from home, right? With news, it's 24/7. So I just converted my dining table into a workstation. And it's this nice 6 feet table, which is meant for six people, but actually only occupies, which only I occupy. And the whole table is full of stuff, I have to say. It's got everything I need to get my job done. But I do confess, it's probably not ideal. The chair I'm using is not the most comfortable, although I have a nice little cushion. But the most important thing is, it is only, I counted, 5 steps away from the fridge.
That is, I think, the most important, because then you can... But no, see, for me, I wouldn't want to do that, because the temptation to just keep snacking throughout the day would just be terribly tempting.
Yeah, you do need a little bit of resistance. I mean, well, willpower, not resistance. But I think the point is, like, you tell yourself, okay, even though you're working from home, doesn't mean that you're just going to snack the whole day. So you keep to your regular meal hours. It's just that, you know, it's nice that everything is kind of within reach. The other thing is the kettle is only 10 steps away, which, because I'm a copious tea drinker, that's something that I really enjoy. So yeah, so 5 steps to the fridge to get my cold water, and then 10 steps to get my tea, and then hopefully no snacks, no Tim Tams, no biscuits in that process, walking to the fridge or to the kettle. That's my thing. The other thing I have, which is kind of funny, and according to this article, you're supposed to take breaks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And y'all have been to my house. I have a TRX like 5 steps to my left. So whenever I want a break, I actually dangle from the ceiling.
That is quite the break.
Yeah. Well, a TRX is, those exercise things, right? So mm-hmm. useful for me.
Yeah, so I empathize with the need to have a dedicated workspace, right? So just, this article that we're looking at explains quite nicely what ergonomics is, right? First and foremost, it's, we take for granted this word. We assume it's some special configuration that you need to do. Actually, it's not. I never thought it was just, it's just making a space that's comfortable with everything you need. That's basically what ergonomics is.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've learned that. I do need a dedicated workspace. So initially, I think the first 2 weeks I was working on my couch, I was working in the corner of the house, and it was not productive. But slowly, I have cordoned off a particular part of the house, stolen a table, and built myself a nice little corner studio, which is really, really lovely. And that's where I'm transmitting from. There's only one weird buzzing sound that bothers me every now and then, but I've got everything I need here, which is great. And it's particularly important because it tells me when to turn off and turn off work. So if I sit here, it means I know I'm working. If I leave this room or this corner, I know that, okay, it's time to calm down a little bit, do anything but work. And that's really helped with that. It helps with the work, with the switching off, which can be a particularly difficult thing if you're working from home.
Yeah, so that's quite an important thing for me as well, right? The demarcation between work time and any kind of other time, particularly on a day where I'm not in the office, I'm working from home. So the problem for me is I have a very tiny desk in my room, and right now that shares space with my laptop, my massive sewing machine, about 1,000 piles of fabric, and other unfinished projects. So during working hours for me, I demarcate it is that, okay, laptop goes on the table, everything else goes off the table. And then once I'm done, it's like, okay, laptop goes up there for me to put on, Spotify or a TV show. And then the sewing machine goes back up on the table. So what the unfortunate side effect of this is that I don't get up from that desk chair for several hours at a stretch. So it's not the it's not the healthiest on my physical person, probably, but it helps me to keep that mental balance between a work life and a home life. But do let us know what you think. Tell us, have you set up a workstation at home? You can WhatsApp us 01878-9899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some messages coming up for you, and then we're taking a look at some unorthodox schedules that might help keep you productive during a work-from-home period. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Darling by Real Estate, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shanning and Roshan. Now, in this new normal that's been brought about by the coronavirus pandemic, a lot of us are working from home, and considering the fact that I think most people still have to stick to something of a 9-to-5 schedule, do you actually get the full impact of the flexibility that usually comes with working from home? Because, you know, tech companies have been doing this for ages, right? And you can have funky schedules, like you wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning of your own volition, and not because you have to come into a radio studio and do a radio show.
You're not talking about us, are you?
No, definitely not. You manage to kind of structure your day around when your kids wake up and get back from school, for example. So you could have you could be done with your workday by 3 o'clock.
Well, because of our funky hours, right? Because we have to come in at 5. I think the reality is that we don't have a regular 9-to-5, and we never will. And plus, because of the nature of the work, because it's so new space, I think 9-to-5, haha, that never happens for me. Never, ever. I think I work very long hours, but I've started this new routine, and I think it takes me to the border of insanity, because now I get up at 3 and exercise before I come to work. Because I find otherwise it just never happens. So I've kind of adjusted my schedule to do this. So this is the new thing which I've learned during the MCO, because we worked from home, right? And during that period, remember, we started later for the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I started exercising in the morning before the show started. So now I just continue, even though we come back into the office at 5.
I'm giving you a bit of a look, Shanning.
I know it's crazy, but I actually enjoy it. And I think that's one way of keeping to that discipline. My problem is never knowing when to switch off from work. That's my issue, because the workday just continues on and on and on and on, unfortunately.
Yeah, actually, that's showing. That is the weird schedule, right? You've done this 3 a.m. thing. So you are, in our context anyway, an early riser, because a normal early riser rises up at 5 a.m. You rise up at 3 a.m., so you're a morning run early riser. The rest of us, not so much. But this weird scheduling, I particularly empathize with. So in this article, someone mentions about breaking up the day, right? So we work from 5 to 10 a.m. basically for the first part of the day. I try to have a half an hour coffee break, that to kind of partition the two parts of the day, because we have the show and then we have everything that happens after the show to prepare for the next day, right? I try to partition that part of the day, because I have other commitments to family. You've got lots of things to do at home. Maybe there's a small fire somewhere you've got to put out. These are all things that are part of the regular day.
Yeah.
Who knows, really? Anything can happen. This is the new normal.
Well, for me, I think it's one of those things in life. You just have to juggle your priorities, and there's a schedule for everybody. So this schedule works for me, but for someone else, you know, with children, sending the kids to school. I mean, now, of course, you don't have to send your kids to school, but worse, your kids are at home with you and you can't get rid of them and you need to pay attention to them all the time. So working from home, juggling that schedule, I think even becomes a greater challenge to working moms, to working dads.
But sometimes it's also not just necessity, right? Sometimes it's just optimizing your energy levels, your productivity levels, because this article in Fast Company talks to some people who don't do a flexible or a slightly funky schedule because of external commitments. They do it because they find they do their best work from 10 p.m. until 1 a.m. in the morning. They find that they do their best work when they sleep in batches of 2 hours and 3 hours at a time, rather than having one long 8-hour sleep. So this is very interesting to me, because I did used to be quite a night owl in university, and I used to do this where I would work until 4 in the morning, and I could hear my neighbors waking up, and I'm like, okay, now it's time to go to bed. Then I would wake up at about 8 or 9 as usual, go about my day, go to class, come back, nap, and then start studying again in the evenings, like at 9 p.m., because I found that worked for me. So do let us know if you've been able to keep to a 9-to-5 schedule, or whether your schedule has adapted to kind of try and take advantage of productivity levels during this MCO. You can WhatsApp us 01878988999 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got the 6:30 news coming up now, though. But first, Kid by The Pretenders, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Bila Takbir Bergema by Maria Bachok, and you are listening to The Morning Run with Lin Xiaoning and Roshan. Now, it is 6:39 a.m. Tuesday, the 19th of May, and this morning we're taking a look at some news out of China, because Chinese President Xi Jinping has pledged to make any coronavirus vaccine universally available once it's developed. So this seems to be part of an effort to diffuse some of the criticism that Beijing has been facing in regards to this pandemic that has so far killed more than 315,000 people worldwide. And it's also come at a time where vaccine nationalism appears to be on the rise. So it's the concern that countries will put national interests first in this quest for a vaccine.
Well, we already saw it over the weekend, right, when President Macron told Sanofi, hey, the vaccine belongs to us because Sanofi is a French company. And then Sanofi said, no, but I get my funding from the US, so I should give it to the US. But you see, I suspect more of this will come, right? Because basically, everybody wants it. Everybody wants a vaccine as soon as possible, because once you have it, and if it works, then it's back to normal. Your economy can flourish again. There's none of this fear of a second wave pandemic. But I think China is sending out this very strong message and is saying, look, we are not Trump. That at the end of the day, that's the nutshell. Okay, we're going to share this with everybody. This is the new warm and fuzzy China.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting situation, particularly since China has five vaccine candidates already in human trials. So Xi Jinping did call for greater international cooperation in fighting the pandemic in a speech yesterday to the World Health Assembly. I don't know how well this is trying to kind of deflect attention away from all of the criticism, saying, you know, oh, this came from China, therefore it's China's fault, though.
Yeah, so definitely, I don't know, Xiaoning, warm and fuzzy China sounds a bit, let's leave warm and fuzzy for the pandas over there. But, you know, this is very interesting, right? We talk about this and I swear we think about how this is the next advantage, right? The first country to really have full access to the vaccine is going to have a massive advantage over being able to restart the economy and possibly pulling in economic advantage there. So it just occurred to me how important this vaccine is, and it could provide the next leg up for whichever country has access to it first, which is very intriguing. And it's intriguing to see China come out and be very open about it, and it'll be a product. But that could be also part of the fact that they are a communist nation, and this socialistic element is part of their conceptualization.
Well, I mean, you think about it, they are the Belt Road Initiative people, right? So they use their checkbook to kind of become warm and fuzzy with a lot of nations, including Malaysia. So vaccine is probably the next way to kind of be friendly with everybody. So, you know, you're trying to say, look, we are a very different China. And yes,
so maybe, moving from,
you know, who knows? But I think at the end of the day, there will still be some, I think, scrutiny in terms of what happened in China. And there should be. More from the perspective of that we need to understand this virus and how viruses spread.
Yeah, so basically, Shani, we're moving from checkbook diplomacy over to vaccine diplomacy. Is that what we're going to be seeing?
Yes, we are. That's the new wave, right? I mean, I think that's a very clever way of actually growing your soft power, your foreign relations.
And of course, another way to grow soft power is usually through the avenue of sports. And we are seeing some of the large sporting championships coming back into play. Now, the English Premier League has, for one, moved a step closer to the return of competitive football as clubs gave the green light to small group trainings to be commenced later this morning. So, however, no date has been set so far for any league fixtures yet to start. Professional football has been suspended since, I think, the middle of March in England because of the coronavirus pandemic.
Well, to be fair, the Bundesliga started right over the weekend, and apparently it had sky high ratings and viewings because all these sports fans were like starved of watching it. But apparently it was a bit strange because football players were in a completely empty stadium. There were just officials and some staff from the respective football fields, and there was no cheering, right? So apparently the English Premier League is looking at creating sounds and also changing the look of the stadium so that when when you're looking on your TV screen, you don't see hundreds and thousands of empty seats, which are depressing.
So as the only actual football fan on air with us this morning, Roshan Kanisen, how do you feel about the return of the Premier League?
I miss football. I miss it so much. I miss it so much. Any football, anything, really. Watching sports on the weekend, I don't watch it every week, right? But I do miss that I do miss having that option to watch football and the excitement around it and going into the studio in the mornings and bantering with it with Chuang or Jeff Sandu or whoever else is a football fan in the studio. Right now, we all talk about our despair that there's nothing to watch. But it is interesting because this whole non-cheering factor, the lack of an ambiance, does have an impact because yesterday I watched the Patriot Act starring Hasan Minhaj, who he did all at home over a green screen, and no live audience sound. It was weird. It was definitely different because you didn't hear anyone laughing to the jokes, and it does feel different. So we cannot underestimate the impact of having an audience and that ambiance factor in any sort of live telecast.
So tell us what you think. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some messages coming up for you, and then we're taking a look at what the papers are saying this morning. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wang Shaoning and Roshan Kanisen. That was Object of Obsession by Anna Popovich. Now, this morning we're taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers. So I have the Malaysian Reserve in front of me right now, and their headline is 3 years minimum for market to absorb Johor overhang homes. Because I think this is kind of an interesting story, because Johor is the state, I think, with the highest overhang units for both residential and commercial properties as of last year. So it appears it'll need another 3 years to clear most of that, especially considering, I think, most people, the economy is kind of at a standstill at this point.
Yeah, it is linked very much to Singapore. But before even the COVID-19, there was a lot of overbuilding. There was massive developments by Country Gardens, Forest City, all these Chinese developers near the first link. With a slowdown in economy, I think the excess supply will take a very, very long time to clear. Okay, for me, I'm looking online, and this morning I'm looking at the Financial Times. So the headline is that Wall Street closes higher on vaccine and reopening hopes. We talked about this, China that said that they'll share. But other than that, there's been news coming out from this biotech company called Moderna, which says they're making a lot of headway with their virus, with their vaccine. So yeah, it has really, really boosted markets, and we're going to be talking about that at 7 a.m.
And I have the virtual version of the star in front of me with the headlines saying enough politicking in a very authoritative voice right there. And it is basically, this is all about Parliament yesterday, right? The short session with the King's Speech and a lot of headlines coming out from that. How about the Agong asking for unity during this time? And basically, I think trying to put an end to that argument around the legitimacy of the government. And I think one thing that really struck me in that speech was how he had asked Tun Dr. Mahathir to not resign. And really, that was the linchpin that kind of put all of this together. So, there is that. The resignation of Dr. Mahathir really led to all of this. But there is a sub-headline at the very bottom of the page. Let's get real and down to earth, Superman. And what this is basically Dato Sri Ismail Yaakob talking about how people are putting fake names when you register in malls. So
I
went to a mall yesterday.
As in, wait, you've seen someone putting down a fake name?
Yeah. I've seen that. I'm like, why do people do stuff like this? Have you all noticed it, or am I the only one?
Some of the names are like Superman and stuff like that and comic book characters. But essentially, I want to stress the importance here. This is for contact tracing, right? And so much so, the store person told me yesterday the same thing. It's in case anything happens, they can trace the people involved. It's all about contact tracing. And I think we're seeing some resistance to this, not just in Malaysia, but even in Singapore, in Australia, or is it New Zealand, where you have these different apps. And it's not being widely used, which then begets the question of how effective these things will be in terms of contact tracing, especially if you can't contact the trace.
Absolutely. And as the person writing down your name onto this list, right, wouldn't you want to know if you had been exposed to COVID-19? Or would you, because it's not the responsible thing to put down some fake name. Yeah, you know, it's funny in the moment, but what happens if there was a confirmed case in that store? You could have been exposed. You would take that back to your families and your friends and your coworkers, and you would never know. So, because nobody would be able to contact you to tell you to go and get tested. So it's a bad thing to do. You know, it seems like a joke, but it's really not funny in the long run. Now, I have the New Straits Times in front of me as well, and their headline does also stem from the parliament sitting yesterday. In fact, their front page is a picture of the Yang Di Pertuan Agong wearing a mask, and along with the quote, "Do not return the country to a situation of political turmoil when the people are still faced with a difficult future due to this COVID-19 pandemic." And I think I was among many, particularly in this office, who kind of tuned in a little bit to the parliament sitting yesterday. And it was a very unusual sort of sitting because you could see all the MPs spaced very widely apart. You know, they were all wearing masks. I think the Malaysian Reserve on its page too has a picture of Tun Dr. Mahathir sitting in his position as a Langkawi MP, you know, complete in his MP's uniform and a face mask. So it's really, you know, a visual representation of what strange times we live in.
It's the new normal, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, they all looked very smart yesterday. It was very nice to see them all. If you follow any of them on Instagram, they showed the social distancing in the Parliament House, how they were all, they were joking about how they had to wake up early for a very short session. Some MPs were joking about that anyway. But it was very nice to see. And they did a tribute to the frontliners. So the Agong did ask all of them to get up and give a round of applause, which I think is, again, very good symbolic gesture towards the hard work that the frontliners have done.
Well, the Malaysian Insight has an interesting headline, and it says that Muhyiddin had no hand in Rizal's deal, says Prime Minister's office. Although we do see in other articles in Malaysian Insight and Malaysia Kini also asking about this sweetheart deal, because our ex-AG, Tan Sri Thomas, came up with another statement.
Absolutely. Now, just a very quick look at the social media responses we've had. Hiswani Hassan, in response to our question of have you maintained a 9-to-5 work schedule, said his first week was chaos, but with effort, people at home and the team at work put together a schedule of who's available when, marked out zones of overlap. So I think that's quite a good way to go about things. And it's a way that we may need to implement ourselves as we move into this new future. But right now we have the 7 o'clock news bulletin for you. But first, here is Pearl Jam with Soldier of Love, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.